Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Let's go to Caroline on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Caroline, welcome to the Dom Giordano Show. Good to talk with you.
How are you?
Well, very well. I'm sure you get that all the time with the sunshine stuff, huh?
This is the first time I've ever heard it, actually. But I appreciate it. I appreciate it nonetheless. Thank you for the warm welcome.
You are certainly welcome, Caroline. So, Caroline, give us what the preview is for President Trump coming. Can you tell us why Leah Koros? Why at Temple?
Sure. President Trump is delighted to get to spend time with the great American patriots of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, the city that really brought forth our nation, right? You know, we got July 4th coming up, and I always think that's such a neat fact about Philadelphia. You know, you guys really are the city where this whole experiment that we call American democracy that we want to see endure, that is certainly under threat by Joe Biden, you guys are the ones that really gave us that. So thank you. President Trump is delighted to come to Philadelphia and bring a message on how we're going to make America great again, right? And, you know, I would say President Trump, the best part of being at his rallies is you never really know what he's going to say, right? I mean, President Trump has elite stamina. He will go for hours. There's nothing like a Trump rally. I mean, the energy that President Trump brings and the energy that the crowd gives back to him, it's just extraordinary. I've seen even reporters in the lamestream media hate to admit that they actually had fun at a Trump rally, you know, but you never know what President Trump is going to say. He was in Las Vegas, Nevada, for example, last week, and he announced his new policy, no tax on tips for hospitality workers. And I would also mention to your listeners, if you haven't participated in this trend that is now happening virally on social media, whenever you go out to eat, if you can afford to go to the Cheesecake Factory in Joe Biden's America, whenever you leave a tip for your server, please write Trump 2024, no tax on tips. We want to spread this message. But again, that was something that President Trump just decided to announce at one of his rallies. So you really never know what he's going to say or do. But he is delighted to come spend time with the great patriots of Philadelphia. And we're really looking forward to it.
Well, he's been to Philadelphia before, but this is the first time in an arena setting like this. And of course, Temple in North Philly is a largely Latino and African-American neighborhood. And the numbers, we've been playing it again today, the polling indicates this kind of breakthrough with African-Americans, Caroline. So do you believe he'll be addressing that part of it?
That's right, right? I mean, we are seeing Joe Biden is down 20 points with African-Americans in Pennsylvania. That's a first. We're seeing, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe Biden's approval rating is sitting somewhere at 34% in your state. Does that sound right? It sounds right to me.
Sounds on the high side. Wait a minute. That sounds on the high side. 34%. How's that possible? Right. Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, meanwhile, President Trump, I mean, he's the leader of our Republican Party, right? And he's a leader that inspires unity. But he also is making inroads with voters outside of our traditional base. And I think there's a lot of demographics of voters who have been traditionally considered part of the Democrat space, part of Joe Biden's base. And President Trump is making inroads with them. Of course, we're talking about African-Americans, Hispanics, union workers, independents, young people. And part of that is because whether you're black, white, brown in this country, everybody's money is green and nobody has enough of it in Joe Biden's America. But it's also because President Trump talks and speaks to a reality that so many of us as Americans, regardless of our skin color, have to endure every day. And his policies are extremely popular with the American people. I mean, we just saw a new poll from CBS this past week showing that 62% of Americans want mass deportations for illegal immigrants.
Caroline, go ahead. You were going to say the majority of Latinos support
that's
that.
That's right. That's right. You know? So the American people don't want 10 million more illegal immigrants. They don't want 30 more tons of fentanyl coming across their border. They don't want 360 names on the terror watch list coming across the border. They certainly don't want Joe Biden's latest mass amnesty, which is going to allow 1.1 million more illegal immigrants to come across our southern border, give them work permits, allow them to be eligible for benefits like Medicare and Social Security. The American people don't want this. They want mass deportations for criminal illegal immigrants. They want to restore the rule of law in their communities. I mean, I know you guys are seeing a massive wave of just violent, horrible crime in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. And, you know, our people are suffering. So President Trump says he's going to make America great again. That's exactly what he's going to do. Part of that is by restoring the rule of law and making America safe again.
Caroline, I'm told, too, that you were a star in Disney Channel Shake It Up. How did you transition from Hollywood so liberal? Did you have to hide your background and you ended up being a spokesperson for, well, I don't know, there's probably a lot of closet Trump supporters, but not blatantly out there. How did you do that?
Well, I can say that's fact-checked true. My American dream was to be an actress. I wanted to be an actress on the Disney Channel. I feel so blessed that I got to live that dream. And I did play, I played a Russian foreign exchange student on this show called Shake It Up. And then I went to work for President Trump. So I always say I'm the closest thing there was to Russian collusion, okay? Give me a break.
Wait a minute. We shouldn't let that out there. I could just see Media Matters, Dan. Excise that.
Exactly.
Burn those tapes. Well, Carol, Caroline, thank you. You are a ray of sunshine. I'll use that metaphor. And I hope that we see you in person sometime when the president's in our area.
Thank you so much. God bless you all.
Thank you, Caroline. Caroline Sunshine here. Dan, she's out of Central Casting. Wait a minute. That's the first time anybody said sunshine. Dan Sunshine Borowski.
Me nor you, who are very good at sarcasm, did not.
Right. I was surprised at that, too. A nice fact check.
For a second.
I know. She was stunned. Nice fact check with the Shake It Up, too, from Disney. My God. Oh, boy. It's going to be a fabulous rally. So if you missed it from Dan, he called over. Yeah. Called over to a couple of at least one lot over there, and we're told that doesn't appear that you can prearrange, so it means you have to get there early.
Yeah. And doors open, Dom, at 3. President Trump planned to take the stage around 7 or so, and we know how that works. He usually shows up a
little bit. Now, Ro and I had a situation like this, and, you know, I've lived in Philadelphia all my life, so it doesn't bother me. But I would say it was when we saw Bill Maher last June. It was at the Met, Broad and Poplar, which, in my mind, is not horrible, but it's not safe either. You know, it's not the type of thing I would take a lot of listeners to, might be from the suburbs. So we had trouble finding a space anywhere near there. So the plan, if we go again, would be you can park further south, even 10, 15, 20 blocks, more towards Center City. Now, from Temple, it might be 20, 25, whatever. You could park in a lot there, get one that's economical, and then you could Uber there and get an Uber out of there, all the while standing in the middle of thousands of people and police protection, etc. That might be your best plan.
Let me throw this one at you.
Yeah.
Park at Love Park or at City Hall. There's a lot under it.
Yeah.
And then hit the Broad Street line?
No, I'm not doing that.
To get to Cecil B. Moore?
No, we're not doing that. Well,
you don't think that one day, like Larry Krasner always makes the point. Whenever he goes down to Phillies game, it's flooded with Phillies fans.
Oh, that's right. Larry Krasner will be on there that day.
You know.
Yeah. Now, if the SEPTA ill-run goofballs, not the police guy that heads it, he's a good guy. I think he's trying hard there. But Leslie Richards and all these others, Dan, they would be advertising, hey, you know, we really have changed things. Ride this. We're going to be riding it. You'll see. And all that to the Trump rally. There'd be an opportunity to do some of that. So, no, I wouldn't do SEPTA. Not in a million years.
Promoting Trump rally?
Yeah, with a Phillies hat on. Let's ask Larry, what is a hit and run? Well, that's what I let in Philadelphia. People hit you. They run. They don't even have to run. A hit and walk. And nothing happens to them. Thank you, Larry. Now, my best advice would be you got to park in a lot nearby, on Broad, or right there. I don't even know, about 2 or 3 blocks.
Here we are at the stadium. We took the best way around in Philly, which is SEPTA. Nothing but happy people wearing team colors behind us, getting ready for a beautiful game on a beautiful night after a beautiful ride. Ride SEPTA.
Yeah, and leave your security detail, well-armed people behind, Larry. How about riding SEPTA with Ralph Cipriano and do an interview on there, Larry? Come on. Or Dom Giordano. We'll ride SEPTA together. We'll ride day and night. Just give me the interview. Let's see how it goes. I think I could get him to clean his glasses off and start the arrogant stuff in a nanosecond.
So in the video, he's a Philly captain who's joined us many times on the show.
Yes.
Comments on the video, and this is all the way back from 2023, July 25th. He says, "Who wears a shirt with a collar to a baseball game?" He's wearing a white shirt. It's a collared button-down shirt. But I myself have worn a button-down collared shirt to a Phillies game. Is that wrong to do so?
No, not if you're at work and you're just putting something else on. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Have you worn a collared shirt to a Phillies game?
Not that I remember.
Is it okay for a grown adult to wear a jersey?
I'm not a big jersey wearer.
No?
Yeah, not at all. No. Yeah.
Even at games?
It's fine. Just wear it out. Don't do what Michael Nutter did. Don't tuck it in. Okay, coming up.
Completely dumbass idea.
I would, if the Trump people, we have to get that message to them, too. Maybe Scott Presler is our pipeline, or Dan is, the Fitzgerald family. That's who President Trump ought to have a rep there. Let one of them come up and talk about what's going on here in Philadelphia under Larry Krasner and that whole issue under a guy like Biden, how crime has flourished, particularly in an area like that, and people want help. That's why Sherelle Parker was elected in Philadelphia. They didn't elect Helen Gim with all that support and all that money, outside money. In fact, she didn't even come in second. I'm just reading Will Bunch of the Philadelphia Inquirer during the break. He's parsing, should protesters come out to protest Trump? Yeah, they'll be out there. They're going to be screaming, you know, you're not allowed in Philadelphia, that the usual type of nonsense. But yesterday, around this time, George Norcross was indicted, sits in the front row staring down the attorney general. And a friend of mine suggests, why now with Norcross? You know, this big, powerful, even national significance. Is that not weaponizing it? In other words, he's been doing his stuff allegedly all along for 12 years, whatever the number is. Why are they doing it now? Another example of lawfare, even though it's all Democrats involved. The other, though, deeper thing, it's another lesson about he's not a progressive. I think he's more just a business wheeler, dealer, operator, you know, big-time figure, rather than not necessarily ideological. But he's a Democrat. And progressives are the people that run places like Camden and New Jersey. And just look, when you look at the tons of pages, lay out the allegations around this, and the city of Camden, and all that money sluicing through, and all the people involved, including allegations of mayor and other officials all over the place, that were doing this apparently in plain sight, allegedly. And again, it's just another lesson. Let me co-join that with something. Trump coming to Philadelphia is not just about Philadelphia and trying to win Pennsylvania, et cetera, and African-American voters. This goes out all over the place, just like Detroit last week. And it's sending a message that Republicans have sent before, although in addition to Trump's persona, which is so different, say, versus a Mitt Romney, there is something else different. Trump is not wedded to an official ideology. You know, in the past, some of the things that he has said, Republican Party would look aghast. They still might at you. He weaves, he dodges, he goes back and forth around a populist agenda. The most recent, the Wall Street Journal goes after him today on this tips idea. Why are we being like Biden, is what they say, and carving out winners and losers? And my argument would be this, that, of course, Trump is still talking about the Trump tax cuts, and even more of that, which I wholeheartedly support. But he's also looking at other beachheads where we can appeal to people around the idea, and any day that we strike down these taxes is a good day to me. So I'm all on board. Plus, I want to win. I'm blatant about it. That's the first thing, to win. Now, I'm not saying to compromise anything to win, but people have seen on a broader issue than tips, the issue of abortion, where America is, and Trump, I think, has been masterful in going there. I still think Trump's biggest legacy, as you know, ultimately will be the Bush Doctrine versus Trump. And I wanted to wed it to something I saw yesterday. RFK Jr., who really has fallen off the radar screen, and I think with listeners too, as predicted, I mean, he's doing in Pennsylvania 6 or 7%, which is great, takes away from Joe Biden. But as an alternative to Trump, that's not happening. There at the Reagan Library, he wants to slash greatly. I'm talking huge, huge, huge amounts he's talking about. The defense budget. Trump does not say to slash the defense budget. He wants a defense spent wisely, but build up into a force of deterrence where we don't get into unending wars. So that's a different approach. Trump is not going to have a lot of military involvement in foreign countries. RFK wouldn't either, apparently. But this idea of slashing the defense budget by 50% is just nonsensical. You see the difference. It's to have a powerful enough, advanced enough, and again, in a second term, unwoke enough military. Cleaning all that out would do a great service, that the Putins of the world, and there are other leverages against Putin too, like our energy supply, are not going to do what they've done. He did not do it. Now, you can call it luck, you can call it whatever you want. I told you the story. I was in the Oval Office. He had five talk show hosts, brought in like 15 congressmen at the end of our time there, and they were trying to lobby Trump to put American military into Syria at that point. And we could tell just by standing there, because they started talking with us in the hallway. Ivanka Trump's walking in and out. Pictures are being taken. It was wild. No, he wasn't going to go for that. We're not going to put more American military lives on the line in these situations. And during his tenure, there was little, if any, of that. He resorted to bombing at times or other levers of power that we used. And that's a big difference. So I get it, RFK Jr., I think, if I had to bet, is going to get on the ballot in Pennsylvania. I'm not sure why he's having so much difficulty with some of these states. I realize it takes a lot of money, a lot of organization, I get that. He's making progress. It doesn't look like he's going to be in the debate, but I think he'll be on the ballot in Pennsylvania. And when you look at the polling with Cornel West and these others, they're taken away from Biden. And you know by now the game is a game of inches, incrementalism. That's what Scott Presler's about. That's what I always advocate. You know, we're not doing all this grandiose stuff. We're going to win the ground game. If you do that, you're going to win Pennsylvania. So RFK in the Reagan Library talking about slashing the military. Trump is not saying that. It's a different approach. I think it's a legacy approach. Back to the tips. The same thing with the tips. Why carve this out? Well, apparently people in that situation are constantly having problems with the federal government, with the monitoring, with the keeping track, with everything else. Plus, we've had people call in and say when they give the tip, they want the maximum to go to that person. They sometimes say it's a gift. It's not a tip. I don't know how you would do that, and I'll admit it. Deep down, tactically, this is a masterstroke. Ted Cruz, I think, is introducing today legislation that would remove that federal tax from tipping. And Trump, in a state like Nevada, it's a home run, but I think here in Pennsylvania, it moves the needle. You don't have to move it a huge, huge amount at all. And it's the type of thing that Republican Party would have never done in the past. I don't know, after Trump, who can replicate this sort of thing. It's very hard to cobble it together and to keep it going. And I think you're going to see that at the Leah Chorus Center on Saturday. And you're going to see an emphasis on things like this. What is Biden going to say during the debate? You're a billionaire. You don't know anything about the working class, you know. And Trump exudes somebody who is in connection with that. Maybe because of the type of way the family made the money, the building trades and all that. He worked at it, etc. That he is able to go into a Wawa and not act like Mitt Romney or one of the Bushes. That counts. That's all that Biden has ever played on here. I'm middle class Joe. You're not. All right. More calls coming up at 855-839-1210. We'll get to them. Side question today. Somebody who got a second chance. Somebody deserving of one or not. It's a mulligan. I'll tell you, Friday when we're at Mulligan's, we already agreed that we're going to ask for all-time bar, all-time situation in a bar. Think of the number of bars over the course of human history. I'll take off the board right now, 3 days in advance, the Star Wars bar.
That's
a great, that's what the UN looks like at times. You're walking into the Star Wars bar. So we'll be doing that. It'll be a regular show with just such great stuff added to it. And again, there's no better place to be, particularly this year with Scott Presler, great tribute band, and all of our regulars coming together in one place. And Johnny Z puts on an unbelievable fun party there. So I hope you can at least tune in, if not get to Wildwood. Take off. At least get there for a couple hours. All right, it is a Dom Giordano show. Welcome in. You know, I was watching a video, again, one more time on Fox during that break, of President Biden freezing on stage. And I think Obama, master on stage and all that, knew what to do. But he wasn't close enough to him where he could kind of pat him on the back and pivot him out of the frozen stance. So he had to get him by the wrist a little bit. But the intriguing thing, Fox just keeps on playing the entire thing. You see him leading him backstage. And when you watch this, Obama's doing a good job patting him on the back like they're all in it together. Biden knows where he is. He's the captain. And we just won a great victory. And then when they get to where the curtain ends and you can see people waiting for Biden, Obama has him just around the waistband. And kind of hands him off like you would hand off a child to someone else. That is even more damaging than the original thing because it underlines their nonsense that you're taking things out of context. I mean, that's a long time going on there. He does it again when he thinks they're out of camera reach. He's handing them off to the handlers. That's what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was an artificially intelligent created image of a hand coming out of Barack Obama there. Yeah,
and to have this unskilled KJP be the person to try to explain this, you know, they need to put Kirby up there, Dan, as bad as, you know, and he at least can, they seem to get along with him. Maybe they'll let him have an inch here and there. That's about all they can do. I don't know what our dog in this fight is, though. We do not want to lower expectations so much. So I would say, all right, we made the point on this in the public's mind. How about for this next week, starting on Thursday, that'd be a full week, that we not go crazy with as much cognitive decline, Biden, the whole thing, leading into the debate, because then if he shows up and just stands up for the 90 minutes, even if it's, you know, horrible, he got over the bar. Now we're into the bar set. You know that bar setting is the thing. You'll be watching when you'll hear somebody say, oh, that didn't seem that bad. Yeah, it was bad, but if we set the bar down to kindergarten, so instead of pre-K and kindergarten, Dan, we have to set it maybe at a seventh grade level. All right, that's what Biden has to exceed here. And I don't think he can. So, but God knows, there has to be more investigation. What are they doing to pump Biden up? I mean that seriously. There is a difference, like when he did the State of the Union. Is it just Adderall? If there were injections, I think we know that by now. Maybe. But there's going to be some point where people are going to be saying, is this all medically ethical, if there is anything?
It's got to be close to that point, right?
God only knows what the drug tests would show if we tested the two of them. You know, the kinds of things that might be taken.
Oh, you know, they keep finding bags of cocaine in the White House.
There you go. By the way, just when Riley Gaines next is on, this from Breitbart today. Five boys who claim to identify as girls have won the state titles this year in Connecticut, New Hampshire, Maine, Oregon, and Washington, according to the Washington Times. Really, it's across six states have left girls in the dust, taken track and field titles. Now, there's only a small number that are involved, but that's a lot of wins, including when it's at the statewide level, which is a real prestigious thing to win a state title. And the numbers are growing. All right, let's go to Joe in Exton. Dan, if we get one more person saying, can't we get Joe of Exton there? You know,
yeah,
some
it's my
way.
My fault that he's not going to be there because I've been so dang busy I haven't been able to speak to him. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll speak with him,
me,
too.
Blame me.
I'll speak with him, too. Is some deal something we have to come up with here? Let's go to Joe of Exton, see what he has today. Hey, Joe, good afternoon. What do you have today, Joe?
Yes, Don. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My person worthy of further consideration is Ron DeSantis. As governor of Florida, DeSantis has proven himself politically capable by bringing the state of Florida back into good order. And DeSantis as vice president, the combination of DeSantis and Trump equal a political powerhouse worthy of bringing this country back into good order.
Joe, I would agree with a lot about that with DeSantis. There's only one thing, though, Joe, at this point. It's going to take some time because he went for the six-week abortion ban. If he were the VP choice, and then even the next time around when he runs, which he will, and I agree with you, the guy drills down. He's done wonderfully in Florida. He's got to find a way out of that. America's not going to be with a guy that wants a six-week abortion ban. You differ?
Yeah.
Well, tell me, how do you differ, Joe?
I never considered. I had forgotten about that abortion ban.
Yeah, that's what happens with VP choices. We think of their big upside, which with DeSantis, he could step in a heartbeat and be president. I agree with you, no doubt. But getting over the general election, that's the issue. Good one, though, Joe. Thank you. I like the second consideration of him, Dan, of DeSantis. He just, the charisma, the shoes, the whole thing. But we predicted when you run for president, it's a completely different thing. He's got it. He's got it, what he would do for the country. But as long as that abortion ban, and this is where Trump has separated himself big time, by the fact that he has navigated this well. They're not seeing overwhelming results in going after Trump on this. Not at all. Drew in Upper Darby. Drew is in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Drew, afternoon.
Hey, Dom, thanks a lot for taking me. You know, Dom, as far as the vice presidential situation goes, I think that is just as important as the abortion issue. Because like you say, Dom, it's about getting over the finish line. And I think that if President Trump chooses an African-American for VP, in particular, Byron Donald, I think it would be so helpful because I bet the numbers show that's how they vote. You know, they really vote African-American. The African-Americans do. And this Byron Donald, he's no slouch. You know, if anything happened to Trump,
He'd be a great choice. Who is your answer to the side question, Drew?
And that takes me right in. This verifies my side question. This guy got he did get a second chance, even being seen on videotape.
And during his tenure, there was little, if any, of that. He resorted to bombing at times or other levers of power that we used. And that's a big difference. So I get it. RFK Jr., I think, if I had to bet, is going to get on the ballot in Pennsylvania. He's making, I'm not sure why he's having so much difficulty with some of these states. I realize it takes a lot of money, a lot of organization. I get that. He's making progress. It doesn't look like he's going to be in the debate. But I think he'll be on the ballot in Pennsylvania. And when you look at the polling with Cornel West and these others, they're taken away from Biden. And you know by now, the game is a game of inches, incrementalism. That's what Scott Pressler's about. That's what I always advocate. You know, we're not doing all this grandiose stuff. We're going to win the ground game. If you do that, you're going to win Pennsylvania. So RFK in the Reagan Library talking about slashing the military, Trump is not saying that. It's a different approach. I think it's a legacy approach. Back to the tips. The same thing with the tips. Why carve this out? Well, apparently people in that situation are constantly having problems with the federal government, with the monitoring, with the keeping track, with everything else. Plus, we've had people call in and say when they give the tip, they want the maximum to go to that person. They sometimes say it's a gift, it's not a tip. I don't know how you would do that, and I'll admit it. Deep down, tactically, this is a masterstroke. Ted Cruz, I think, is introducing today legislation that would remove that federal tax from tipping. And Trump in a state like Nevada, it's a home run, but I think here in Pennsylvania, it moves the needle. You don't have to move it a huge, huge amount at all. And it's the type of thing the Republican Party would have never done in the past. I don't know, after Trump, who can replicate this sort of thing. It's very hard to cobble it together and to keep it going. And I think you're going to see that at the Leah Cora Center on Saturday, and you're going to see an emphasis on things like this. What is Biden going to say during the debate? You're a billionaire. You don't know anything about the working class, you know. And Trump exudes somebody who is in connection with that. Maybe because of the type of way the family made the money, the building trades and all that, he worked at it, etc., that he is able to go into a Wawa and not act like Mitt Romney or one of the Bushes. That counts. That's all that Biden has ever played on here. I'm middle class Joe. You're not. All right. More calls coming up at 855-839-1210. We'll get to them. Side question today. Somebody who got a second chance, somebody deserving of one or not, it's a mulligan. I'll tell you, Friday when we're at Mulligan's, we already agreed that we're going to ask for all-time bar, all-time situation in a bar. Think of the number of bars over the course of human history. I'll take off the board right now, 3 days in advance, the Star Wars bar.
That's
a great, that's what the UN looks like at times. You're walking into the Star Wars bar. So we'll be doing that. It'll be a regular show with just such great stuff added to it. And again, there's no better place to be, particularly this year with Scott Pressler, great tribute band, and all of our regulars coming together in one place. And Johnny Z puts on an unbelievable fun party there. So I hope you can at least tune in, if not get to Wildwood. Take off. At least get there for a couple hours. All right, it is a Dom Giordano show. Welcome in. You know, I was watching a video again one more time on Fox during that break of President Biden freezing on stage. And I think Obama, master on stage and all that, knew what to do. But he wasn't close enough to him where he could kind of pat him on the back and pivot him out of the frozen stance. So he had to get him by the wrist a little bit. But the intriguing thing, Fox just keeps on playing the entire thing. You see him leading him backstage. And when you watch this, Obama's doing a good job patting him on the back like they're all in it together. Biden knows where he is. He's the captain. And we just won a great victory. And then when they get to where the curtain ends and you can see people waiting for Biden, Obama has him just around the waistband and kind of hands him off like you would hand off a child to someone else. That is even more damaging than the original thing, because it underlines their nonsense that you're taking things out of context. I mean, that's a long time going on there. He does it again. When he thinks they're out of camera reach, he's handing them off to the handlers. That's what's going on here. So
we didn't know that was an artificially intelligent created image of a hand coming out of Barack Obama there.
And to have this unskilled KJP be the person to try to explain this. You know, they need to put Kirby up there, Dan, as bad as, you know, and he at least can, they seem to get along with him. Maybe they'll let him have an inch here and there. That's about all they can do. I don't know what our dog in this fight is, though. We do not want to lower expectations so much. So I would say, all right, we made the point on this in the public's mind. How about for this next week, starting on Thursday, that'd be a full week, that we not go crazy with as much cognitive decline, Biden, the whole thing, leading into the debate, because then if he shows up and just stands up for the 90 minutes, even if it's, you know, horrible, he got over the bar. Now we're into the bar set. You know that bar setting is the thing. You'll be watching when some, you'll hear somebody say, oh, that didn't seem that bad. Yeah, it was bad. But if we set the bar down to kindergarten, so instead of pre-K and kindergarten, Dan, we have to set it maybe at a seventh grade level. All right, that's what Biden has to exceed here. And I don't think he can. So, but God knows, there has to be more investigation. What are they doing to pump Biden up? I mean that seriously. There is a difference, like when he did the State of the Union. Is it just Adderall? If there were injections, I think we know that by now. Maybe. But there's going to be some point where people are going to be saying, is this all medically ethical, if there is anything?
It's got to be close to that point, right?
God only knows what the drug tests would show if we tested the two of them. You know, the kinds of things that might be taken.
Oh, you know, they keep finding bags of cocaine in the White House.
There you go. By the way, just when Riley Gaines next is on, this from Breitbart today. Five boys who claim to identify as girls have won the state titles this year in Connecticut, New Hampshire, Maine, Oregon, and Washington, according to the Washington Times. Really, it's across six states have left girls in the dust, taken track and field titles. Now, there's only a small number that are involved, but that's a lot of wins, including when it's at the statewide level, which is a real prestigious thing to win a state title. And the numbers are growing. All right, let's go to Joe in Exton. Dan, if we get one more person saying, can't we get Joe of Exton there, you know, some
it's my
way?
It's fault that he's not going to be there because I've been so dang busy I haven't been able to speak to him. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll speak with him,
me,
too.
Blame me.
I'll speak with him, too. Is some deal something we have to come up with here? Let's go to Joe of Exton, see what he has today. Hey, Joe, good afternoon. What do you have today, Joe?
Yes, Don. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My person worthy of further consideration is Ron DeSantis. As governor of Florida, DeSantis has proven himself politically capable by bringing the state of Florida back into good order. And DeSantis as vice president, the combination of DeSantis and Trump equal a political powerhouse worthy of bringing this country back into good order.
Joe, I would agree with a lot about that with DeSantis. There's only one thing, though, Joe, at this point. It's going to take some time because he went for the six-week abortion ban. If he were the VP choice, and then even the next time around when he runs, which he will, and I agree with you, the guy drills down. He's done wonderfully in Florida. He's got to find a way out of that. America's not going to be with a guy that wants a six-week abortion ban. You differ?
Yeah.
Well, tell me, how do you differ, Joe?
I, I,
I never considered. I had forgotten about that abortion ban.
Yeah, that's what happens with VP choices. We think of their big upside, which with DeSantis, he could step in a heartbeat and be president. I agree with you, no doubt. But getting over the general election, that's the issue. Good one, though, Joe. Thank you. I like the second consideration of him, Dan, of DeSantis. He just, the charisma, the shoes, the whole thing. But we predicted when you run for president, it's a completely different thing. He's got it. He's got it, what he would do for the country. But as long as that abortion ban, and this is where Trump has separated himself big time, by the fact that he has navigated this well. They're not seeing overwhelming results in going after Trump on this. Not at all. Drew in Upper Darby. Drew is in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Drew. Afternoon.
Hey, Dom. Thanks a lot for taking me. You know, Dom, as far as the vice presidential situation goes, I think that is just as important as the abortion issue. Because like you say, Dom, it's about getting over the finish line. And I think that if President Trump chooses an African-American for VP, in particular, Byron Donald, I think it would be so helpful because the numbers show that's how they vote. You know, they really vote African-American. The African-Americans do. And this Byron Donald, he's no slouch. You know, if anything happened to Trump,
He'd be a great choice. Who is your answer to the side question, Drew?
And that takes me right in. This verifies my side question. This guy did get a second chance. Even being seen on videotape, taking bribes and smoking crack cocaine with prostitutes. And that's the former mayor of Washington, D.C., Marion Barry.
Thank you, Drew. I had Marion Barry on, Dan. He was a heck of an interview. I don't remember it was before or after that incident. And that immortal line about what he said, the blank set me up.
Is that who Joe Biden's been hanging out with?
Oh, God, yes. You know, I can't get over Obama thinking the camera's off, though. And he kind of hands him off, Dan, like it's a running back and he's handing the ball off to him, you know?
Stick.
All right, take this guy out of here. Center on that one. All right, is the lightning round. Let me take this one, and then we'll get to the lightning round. I like this one a lot. Cam in Yardley. All right, Cam, what's yours?
Hey, Dom. Hey, Dan. I think you got to give a mulligan to Pete Rose. You got to let him in the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Everyone bets on baseball now.
Well, that part's true. Has he been apologetic? I'd have to go back through, you know, the whole thing with Pete Rose, but I would tell you this.
His career stats, and it's been years and years and years.
Dan, if a ball's hit to the outfield, I need to score a run. I want Pete Rose round to third base, second to none. Thank you, Cam. That's a good choice.
Now with the legal betting and all.
Yeah. So the Earl of Tacony next. Will he be Tom Jones-esque on Friday? We'll see what he has here today, too. And, Robert of Ben Salem, Dan. I like that answer. A lot of these are tricky. Have they really apologized? You know, that kind of thing.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.